Are you ready to discover and let go of everything that's been holding you back in life? Are you prepared to push beyond your self-imposed limiting beliefs and achieve greatness? If yes, then the Mindset Coach Podcast is for you. Get ready to exceed your goals, reach the level of success and significance you've always known you were destined for. Here's your host, Mike Sprouse.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mindset Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Sprouse, and I'm excited to be spending time with you once again today. Thanks so much for being here. Today it's story time, and we're calling this one the Sub-Zero Trek. Of course, we'll be talking all about mindset as the theme throughout this story, and the goal for this story and others I share throughout this podcast is to illustrate specific elements from it so you can apply them to your own journey. So it's not about you comparing the exact experiences in this story to your life, but it is to take the elements of mindset from this story and apply them if they're helpful for you. But first, if you're new here and want a general framework for what this entire podcast is all about, I invite you to listen to earlier episodes of the Mindset Coach Podcast, and you'll get an idea for what we're doing and all the stuff we're talking about. So right now, I am 3 days removed from an amazing journey, one that to me was successful and significant. Remember, no one else can evaluate what your vision of success and significance is for you. Only you can do that. So for me, this was something that involved physical and mental challenge. Are there more intense and quote-unquote bigger things out there that people accomplish than the one I'm about to talk about? Absolutely. But it's not about me comparing to anyone else. In the context of what makes me me, this fits all the criteria for my mindset and helps me build a better, higher performing version of me. And it was also a major stop on the journey to something even bigger, which I'll get into in a second. The story actually starts back at the beginning of this year. So each year I try and set out to give myself one kind of big goal that encompasses everything physically, mentally, and spiritually. This year is especially notable for me since it's my 50th year of life. And in recent years, especially, I've gotten really into hiking and climbing and doing outdoor activities because I feel like it awakens all of my senses. So every time I engage in something that pushes me or stretches me outside of my comfort zone on a given day, I can almost feel my potential as a human being, personally or professionally, or as a dad, or as a leader, or as a human. I can almost feel that getting higher. So I've never hiked a 14,000 foot peak before, so I chose that as my thing this year. I picked out the mountain in Colorado, planned the trip, and it's happening a few months from now. So that's my big goal. Along the way, I have a series of other goals in order to set the conditions for that larger goal to happen successfully. And one of the items I identified early in my planning was to do a somewhat advanced or challenging hike that has some real meat or real struggle or real heft to it. I can't just go from doing hikes at sea level in mild conditions to doing a major hike at altitude that probably will involve snow and wind and all that fun stuff. So in my early planning, I didn't know when or where this challenging hike would be, just that it was on my sheet for sometime this month or next month. And I trusted that the right opportunity would arrive if I was doing all the things like training and eating well, etc., and if I was keeping my eyes and ears open for any opportunities that might come up. So, roughly a month ago, I got a random email from a company that does guided hikes and mountaineering trips in New England, specifically at Mount Washington in the great state of New Hampshire. I had done a day hike up there last year with one of the guides, and it was amazing. Challenging, perfect conditions. I did most of the hike in a t-shirt and shorts. It was grueling, but so rewarding in every sense. And from that experience, I joined this company's email list, and lo and behold, I got this opportunity to attempt a summit trek up Mount Washington this month, on March 16th, to be exact. Now, if you know anything about Mount Washington, you know that it's notorious and it lays claim to the quote-unquote worst weather in the world. They even have a sign and everything. It's there that the fastest wind speed ever recorded by man of 231 miles per hour happened back in 1934. In fact, during lots of major weather events across the US and Canada, national news programs will show webcams of what the conditions look like on top of Mount Washington, and usually it's an image of a staff member being blown around atop the observatory while taking weather readings. It's pretty nutty stuff. The summit sits atop the intersection of three major jet streams that sweep across North America. So if and when those converge at the same time, you get a lot of wacky weather up there. For hikers, it's part of the allure. You start out at the bottom and weather could be sunny and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And by the time you've climbed 4,000 vertical feet up to the summit of over 6,000 feet, it could be 50 mile an hour winds and snow and 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So you get the idea. Things change quickly. It's also why, historically, Mount Washington is the world's deadliest mountain for hikers. That's right. Sadly, it's claimed the lives of more than any other mountain around the world. Not in every case, because tragic accidents happen that aren't the fault of people on the mountain, but there are some hikers that are unprepared and caught off guard, and they think since it's not all that tall of a mountain, how tough could it be, right? Well, it's the steepness of it and the terrain and the change in altitude so quickly that catches most people off guard. So when I received that email, I knew it was an omen that this was the challenging hiking opportunity I was looking for in advance of the bigger one a few months from now. So I took it. I signed up and then went into preparation mode by watching what I was eating and staying hydrated and making sure I followed the gear list of what I need to have with me on the hike. The uniqueness of this opportunity was that we would hike up on a Saturday, spend the night inside the observatory at the top of the mountain, which is fully staffed and is a year-round weather station, and then hike down the next day on Sunday. So I won't go too far into how cool an experience staying overnight there was, but for weather nerds like me, it was incredible. The work that the staff at Mount Washington does is so important for the region and for the country and for the world. And the data they're able to collect about weather and climate is truly eye-opening. Of course, in perfect conditions, I knew the hike was grueling, but this was March. It's not anywhere close to spring in New Hampshire, especially at the summit. So I showed up, got dressed, got my pack set, and got the necessary gear to start the hike. Myself and eight other people embarked on a trek led by three guides at the start. We got briefed about the conditions, the weather, and the route we would be taking. And I want to give a quick shout out to Jim, Peter, and Eric. I can't say enough about how significant these people are. Not only do they lead people like me up and down mountains safely, they volunteer locally at fire departments, they're on mountain rescue teams for people who get into trouble hiking, skiing, or whatever. It's really notable work. They're heroes. If you don't believe how significant they are, I will just tell you that I will remember them and their impact on me more than I'd remember any famous people that I've never met before, right? These people really impacted me in a positive way. So back to the story. The morning was beautiful, sunny, warm, or warm relatively speaking. It's about 35, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. I was wearing four or five layers, and so within the first mile up, I was definitely sweat through one or two of those layers. So we pulled over to hydrate and to put crampons on our boots, helmets on our heads, and to take out our ice axes. Well, that was a sign. Things were about to get pretty serious. We were about to go up the really steep faces of the mountain. That's what the sign was. And probably do so accompanied by a rapid change in weather. And that's what happened. The sun disappeared. The winds came out of nowhere. I've got my right hand holding an ice axe into the side of a mountain, and my feet lodged into the side of it for traction, and it continued this way for a good couple hours. When we could finally put the ice axes away, we had gone up a few thousand feet, and so the winds picked up, and the temperatures just dropped dramatically. We still were only about a halfway or so to the summit. So at this point, the natural reaction in my mind, and probably everyone else's, was, holy moly, I don't know if I'm going to make it. So that's where mindset training is so key and sort of enters the discussion at this point. Because yes, there was still a long way to go, and none of us could control the weather we had ahead of us. But we could put one foot in front of the other. And that's what I did the rest of the way. Head down, step by step. In total, it took a good 7 hours to make it all the way up. And by the time we reached the summit, snow was knee deep and winds were blowing probably 35 miles an hour. Wind chills were definitely zero. All in all, the adrenaline of reaching the top made it seem not that cold and not all that windy, though. It was like I felt hardened by the conditions at that point. And plus, we didn't have to turn around right away and go back down. We could hunker down for a little bit inside and get some food and get some rest. So one of the things we found out was that the weather was forecasted to shift dramatically overnight. And again, we had no control over that, so we went to sleep and figured we would deal with it in the morning. Upon awakening, yes, things had changed pretty big time. An extra foot of snow dropped. Winds picked up. During our descent, the wind speeds gusted to 79 miles per hour. Visibility was zero. Temperatures were sub-zero, factoring wind chills. Avalanche warnings were raised. So yeah, it was dicey. Of course, coming down figured to be harder technically than climbing up. Ice and footing, traction, extra wind, it all just sort of added to the challenge. Your mindset sort of says, whoa, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this. But that's where positivity comes in, as well as short-term goals. So we couldn't snap our fingers and just be at the bottom. But we knew that if we could get down 1,000 feet, conditions might improve. The next 1,000 feet, a little bit better still, and so on. Looking back today, I can say it was the most extreme conditions I've ever been in, and it was the most emotionally challenged situation I've felt myself in for quite some time, too. Every step I took on the way down was a decision. It was a lot of leaps of faith. Was there a boulder underneath the snow I'm about to step in? Was there a crater beneath that snowy patch I'm about to plant my foot in? Would this ice axe really lodge firmly enough and hold me? Would the crampons I had on my feet hold up? Would the wind blow me off the side of the mountain, right? I mean, your mind can go in a lot of different directions. But focus is key. Concentration is key. Controlling your breathing is key. Positivity and confidence are key. And frankly, competence is key. There's a lot of problem solving that happens in real time. So you can prepare all you want, but some of what you're doing are real-time decisions and trusting a GPS when you can't see 3 feet in front of you and then committing to each step and each direction you go. Every individual step had to be a full-on commitment. So the whole thing, the entire 2 days of challenges, was such a metaphor for so many aspects of life. And yes, during the milder parts of the trek, I did reflect on that. I was sure to have some gratitude about what this meant to me, and more importantly, what it might mean for other people, specifically like my kids, who could look at something like this and say, wow, that looked really hard, but you found a way to do it. And we did find a way to do it. By the time we reached base camp, we were back in the sunshine, sweating through all our layers of clothing, laughing, telling stories. Now, 11 strangers, 9 hikers, plus Jim and Peter, we had inside jokes together. We could tell a story about that time we all hiked Mount Washington together and stayed overnight at the observatory. That time where we experienced literal ups and downs, snow, sleet, grapple, which, by the way, I had never heard of before, extreme wind, 2 avalanches we heard happening around us, and even thunder snow, which apparently is in fact a thing. everything Mother Nature could throw at us, she did, and we took it. I think there's a couple themes in here that might be useful for people. One, when you set a big goal, it's important to have smaller goals leading up to it. Two, when you're in the midst of a journey and doing something really hard, it's useful to break it up into micro goals. Three, you can be totally solid from a physical perspective, but if your mindset isn't good, you will fail. I can say that definitively. I would have failed, been unsuccessful, or worse if I had a bad mindset. The entire journey was all about what state of mind I was in while the storm was pounding me from every angle. A lot like life, right? It was about whether I could remain calm in the storm and about whether I could stay focused with my mind in control and not overly catastrophizing what might happen or what could happen if I took a wrong step. Lastly, and very importantly, if you think this was all about an individual achievement, there's something beautiful here for you too. It was a trip that I chose to take and that I performed. Yes, those things are true. But it was not at all about me. It was about the 11 or 12 of us that were together, each trying to do something difficult. You see, on the way down the mountain in the worst of the storm, we formed a straight line. The people in the front of the line cleared footprints through the deep snow and a path for those towards the back of the line. They also acted as sight markers so that no one would veer off course. I even borrowed a necessary pole from one of the other hikers who offered his to me. Thanks, Chuck. Every person gave every other person emotional support along the way during rough parts. The staff and volunteers atop the observatory served us food and gave us beds and shelter. So while it was an individual endeavor, it was very much an emotional support group and a team, all working together, respectfully sharing towards a common goal. Total strangers coming together. It was about each person being prepared on their own and taking their own responsibility for themselves, because if one person wasn't pulling their weight, it would have impacted the rest of us. But when those things are in place, you form almost a makeshift team of like-minded, strong mindset individuals that provide support when you need it. To say everything about it is uplifting would be an understatement. My goal is that this story serves as a blueprint for doing hard things in your life. Perhaps as a blueprint for having you see your potential on a much higher level. Perhaps to highlight the aspects of mindset that are needed when faced with a challenge or challenging conditions around you. Perhaps as a blueprint for setting goals and showing you how the journey towards fulfilling them might become actualized. Perhaps it helps to show how individual achievement can be accomplished in the context of other people achieving their goals and dreams too, and that those things can occur together and not at the expense of anyone else. That's all for today, folks. I hope you'll join me next time on the Mindset Coach podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show and let's keep walking forward through our lives together. Until next time, Mindset Masters, make it a great day.
So that's it for today's episode of The Mindset Coach. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week who posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $15,000 private VIP day with Mike Sprouse himself. Be sure to head on over to mindsetcoachpodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Mike's gift. And join us on the next episode.